Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us this morning. My name is Carrie Alexion-Tiernan, and I'm going to take you through our desktop virtualization offering here at Microsoft. Joining me on stage today will be one of the product managers on my team, Scan Mittal, and he's going to take you through a bunch of demos to actually make this real for you. So some of the things you saw this morning in the keynote, we're going to dive in a little bit deeper in this session and take you one click lower. And then throughout the rest of the week, the product managers and the program managers in engineering are actually going to get you even more hands-on. For those new products that we're going to talk about, there are hands-on labs that are available. So if you're interested in actually touching them, get down there and go ahead and kick the tires there. So one of the things that we're starting to see and hear from our customers is that the way people work today is changing. There's multiple devices in the environment. There's multiple locations in which they want to work from. Some of them may be on-premise within the corporate environment, or they may be outside of the corporate firewall, from a Starbucks, for instance, hanging out at the park, different airports, things like that when they're traveling. And the times that they choose to work are also varying. So we're seeing more of a work-life blur. The typical 9-to-5 job is somewhat a thing of the past. I don't know about you guys, but I may choose to work, you know, late one night, sleep in early the next night. I may be traveling a lot where I'm kind of blending the hours to get my work done. And as part of that, I'm also using multiple devices. So just coming here to Vegas, I brought my laptop, I brought my Windows 8 tablet, I have my Windows phone, and then I have other devices back in my office. So there's a dichotomy of change that's occurring. And as that occurs, IT needs to ensure that they can continue to simplify the delivery of that experience, those applications in Windows. They can ensure business continuity, and they can also enable those users to work offline when they need to, when they're not highly connected. So what we want to talk through today is how desktop virtualization can actually help you enable your users and their new flexible work styles while making sure that your business and you as an IT pro can benefit from new technology implementation. When we think about desktop virtualization, we really think about it in three main categories. And I think you guys have probably seen this before. We've talked about this in the past. But it's a way to frame the multiple technologies that are available to help you deploy these scenarios in your user environment. So the first category that we want to talk about is user state virtualization. And really what we're focusing on in the user state is ensuring that the personalized experience that the user has created for themselves moves with them regardless of the Windows device that they're accessing. So essentially, at the core, enable them to change their device and keep their experience. And there's two products that we'll talk about here, and that's User Experience Virtualization, or UEV, which Brad alluded to in the keynote, and we introduced to the world last week through our announcement. And then pile that in conjunction with folder redirection, and now you've got your data moving as well. The second category that we want to basically talk about is the application layer. So when you're virtualizing the applications, you get much more freedom in what you can do and how you can move them between devices, essentially making virtually any application available anywhere. And there are two technologies that Microsoft provides that enable you to do this. First one is our flagship product in AppV, or application virtualization. And the second one is one that we haven't talked about as much thus far, but you're going to hear us start talking about a little bit more, and that's remote app. And that's a key capability within Windows Server. It's been there for a while. And people who use it really love it, and people who don't know about it go, wow, that's kind of cool. I wish I had known about that. So we'll talk a little bit about that today so you kind of understand the different ways that you can deliver applications. And then at the third layer, or the third category, we're really talking about the core. That's the operating system itself. And really, by virtualizing the core, you can make Windows available anywhere. And there's a couple different ways that you can do this. You can do this hosted in the data center using a VDI type solution, and we're going to talk about some of the improvements that we're bringing to market through Windows Server 2012, and you saw some of that in the keynote as well. And then we're also going to talk a little bit about Client Hyper-V, which is going to be shipping in Windows 8 as we bring that into market. So we'll touch a little bit on that. The third area, which you may be familiar with, is MEDB, and that's an application compatibility technology. I'm not going to spend a specific amount of time on that today, but for those users who have XP applications that are not compatible with Windows 7, this product gives you a great bridge in order to merge those through. So with that kind of context setting, let's take each one of these categories individually, and we'll talk about the products themselves, and we'll weave in some demos so you guys can actually see this stuff in action. Before we leave the slide, though, the one thing that I do want to mention is that System Center 2012 is at the core of everything that we do in virtualization. And I say System Center 2012, that's the version that we recently launched into market. You heard Brad talk about that this morning. But we've also integrated deeply with System Center 2007 R2, as well. So the System Center family is integrated into our virtualization stack. And this is a key point. The reason this becomes key is because in most situations, you already have a physical environment that's deployed. Whether you're managing your desktops, your applications, or servers in your environment, you have something that pre-exists. As you move to the next generation of computing in your enterprise, you're probably going to blend in some virtualization. And you may use all aspects, you may use some aspects. System Center gives you the capability to manage both the physical and virtual environment, whether you're 100% on both or you're hybrid in your environment. So very powerful tool set using your existing infrastructure and not having to forklift and put something new in there, because management costs go up if you need to put in a new infrastructure. So let's dive in a little bit and talk about the user state layer. And the first area we want to talk about really is user experience virtualization. And what we're doing here is ensuring that no matter what device the user logs into, no matter what Windows device the user logs into, they get their personalized experience with them. So UEV will take settings across both applications and operating systems, both physical and virtual. Some of the key benefits associated with the UEV technology: anywhere productivity. So access those data and personal settings on any device. So as I mentioned, I came here to Vegas with my laptop. I also came with my Windows 8 tablet. I do have a VDI desktop that's provisioned to me back in Redmond if I want to use that in certain cases. Because everything that I do in my environment today is virtualized, I use UEV and I use AppV for my applications. Regardless of which device I choose to use at any given time, my experience is with me. So my themes are with me. All of those things are with me. And it also helps to avoid business disruptions. So in a case where I may have one of those devices go down and I grab a vanilla install of a device, I'm still going to get that experience with me because it's been replicated. And it's all assigned to my domain credentials, so it's going to follow me. When we integrate that with folder redirection and offline files, which is core to the Windows operating system today, when you use Windows Client and Windows Server together, you're basically then getting the movement of your data. So now when you think about the full experience, you're getting your settings and your personalization through UEV, and then you're getting your folder and your folder and data through folder redirection. Both of those technologies have the capability to go offline. So if you're disconnected, you still have that experience on the device that you're working from. So let's talk about UEV specifically as a technology. We are super excited to bring this one to market. You guys have been asking us to do something in this space for some time. I can't talk here. And you've been asking us to improve roaming user profiles, do some additional work in that space. So we took a bunch of that feedback, and we came up with the user experience virtualization technology. And there are three key areas where we focused the product, and that's to be personal and flexible, simple and versatile, and integrated and scalable. And let's see what exactly that means. At the personal and flexible level, this is really all about the user. We want to make sure that the app and OS personalization roams across Windows. Now, if you're using a VDI environment, that's still Windows, right? You're still virtualizing Windows in a VM. It's just a hosted experience. All of that personalization is going to roam there, as well as in a session-based environment. So you're covered. Windows is Windows. We've made some improvements in terms of the syncs. We've made Smart Sync, and we're working to make sure that the logons continue to be fast. And what this means is, in a typical roaming user profile environment, we used to take everything all at once and jam it down at you. And you had to accept it, and that caused latency in the user experience because you had to wait for that information to come down. Now we're working to improve that so that you only get the settings you need when you log in. So OS settings are separate. When you launch an application, we'll bring the settings down for that specific application at the time that you launch. When you close it, we'll send it back up. So what we're doing is we're really parsing the data to make sure that you get a quick experience associated with how you're interacting with Windows. And we have a number of different triggers, that we call them, that we're taking advantage of. And some of these include locking the workstation in order to synchronize the settings. Other include opening and closing the applications, logging on, logging off, connecting and disconnecting to an RDS session. So there's a number of ways that we're enabling the sync to happen in real time, and also to remove the delays associated with that data transmission. So ultimately, when you use UEV, application and OS configuration is not required. From an IT pro perspective, we really wanted to make sure that this is simple and versatile, right? So there's a lot of things that we could do to make this thing super robust and super complex and add in a bunch of knobs and whistles. But at the end of the day, is that really what you need? What we need to do is we need to roam the appropriate settings, the appropriate personalization, and make sure that we do it in a timely fashion. So we've introduced a concept called templates. And templates basically have the paths to the settings location. So essentially, anytime a user makes a change to a personalization, it writes it to a location. The templates are basically the map that tells you where that setting is stored. You can create custom templates using a tool called the generator. And that can be used for your line of business applications, so you can do customization and have your line of business application settings roam with you. We have dropped a couple templates. For example, Office 2010 has a template with beta, and there are a couple others out there, so you can immediately start using those and see how that experience works. And then one of the other things that we heard is, when there's a problem with the personalization, typically you would have to blow away the whole profile. And when you do that, you lose everything. We've enabled the ability to roll back settings so that you can reset to a default state. And you can do that on a per app basis. So your user is not going to lose everything that they already configured. You can just roll it back on a per app basis. So from an IT pro perspective, some tools that are out there and available to you, and we hope you start taking a look at those. Now, when we think about integrated and scalable, one of the things that I mentioned is that we could go over the top and make this a really complex product, or we could integrate and take advantage of the tools that you already know and that you already have deployed in your environment. The advantage of doing that is that we drive down complexity for you, and we also drive down cost, right, in your infrastructure. So you can use the existing tools to deploy the templates and to deploy the UEV agent. So if you have System Center Configuration Manager or a third-party software distribution tool, it'll push all that stuff down for you. We have integrated with System Center specifically on DCM to ensure that the client stays configured. And then, of course, we integrate with all the desktop virtualization products, as I've been mentioning throughout the presentation. So with that, I'd like to bring Scand on stage for our first demo and have him show you what UEV looks like in action.
Thanks, Gary. First and foremost, let's pray to the God that demo gods that the demos will work. And pray for me. Thanks, everyone, for joining. Again, I'm Scand Mittal. I'm in Gary's team, one of the product marketing managers. And what we are going to do today is demonstrate some of the end-to-end capabilities of our DV stack. And I'll start with UEV. So let's play out a scenario here. Let's say I'm Ed. I'm a doctor at Contoso Healthcare Services. And as part of my job, I see multiple patients in a day. I collaborate with multiple doctors because I need to discuss several medical issues with them. So I am Ed, and I'm in my primary office working on my primary desk. And one of the applications that I frequently use is the calculator app. Because I want, there are cases where I need to quickly calculate medication dosage for my patients, and I need to leverage this app to be readily available to prescribe medication to my nurses and patients. So what I notice here is it's in a, the calculator is in a standard view, and when I need to do some complex calculations, I use the scientific view of the calculator. Also, I also frequently use the unit conversion in case I need to convert the medication dosage from metric, from English to metric-based units. Also, today in the morning, I was in the meeting, and head of the department talked about some of the new HIPAA compliance requirements that my hospital might have to abide to. And also, that they talked about Microsoft Health Vault solution, which helps in centralizing patient data. So I'm very eager to review that information on those websites. So let me open IE and try HIPAA.com. So I'm getting ready to review the information that head of the department just talked about in the morning. Also, let me open Microsoft Health Vault. So I know I would be reviewing these websites pretty often in the next few days. So why don't I add this as my homepage? So I go there and just add them to my homepage. I am a senior doctor. I'm not getting any younger. So why don't I increase the text size so that I don't have to wear my glasses all the time, right? Not all of us like to wear our glasses. So let me go to Zoom and set it to 125%. I also like my favorite sites to be available quickly as I launch IE. So let's make that available and add Microsoft Health Vault and HIPAA.com in case I change my homepage in the next few days. So as I'm getting ready, I get a call from my ER that I need to see my patient urgently. So I need to close my applications and close my, unlock my computer before I leave. So I will review those websites as I get more time after seeing my patients. So let's lock this computer. So I've seen, I visited my patients, and one thing I need to do is quickly calculate some dosage amounts for new medication that has come into the market. And I don't want to go back to my office. So what I do, I just go to the nearby doctor lounge where I can just leverage or use a kiosk that my IT has made available to us so that we don't have to carry our devices all the time. So let me go to the kiosk machine. So I need to access my calculator app immediately. Hey, I see my settings, I see the scientific view, I see the unit conversion, and these are the changes I just made in my primary PC. So I'm very happy as a user because I didn't have to reconfigure this application again, right? And just for the sake of it, let's just do a unit conversion, right? And I'm going to change it into, let's leave it right there. I don't want to waste time on changing the conversion. Also, I have some more time, so why don't I open Internet Explorer and start reviewing the sites that I just made favorites and homepage for. I find both HIPAA.com and Microsoft Health Vault available to me as I launch IE. My Zoom settings are still set to 125%. And Health Vault and HIPAA are still available to me in my favorites bar. So as a user, I'm really happy because I'm more productive, and UEV is able to carry my personalized settings even when I'm changing my device. Also, my login experience was extremely fast because UEV knows when to sync my operating system and application settings. And it doesn't sync the settings at all at once. It knows to sync the settings when I launch those applications and not when I log in. That can make the process of logins slower or increase the network traffic. So as I have some more few minutes before I go back to see my patient, so let's open Outlook and check if I got some emails as I was seeing my patients. So I noticed I got an email from my colleague, Adam Carter, who wants to meet me later in the day to discuss some of the HIPAA compliance requirements that our head of the department walked through in the morning. What I'm used to is just look at the presence information of Adam and just IM him through link integration in Outlook. But I notice the small box that used to tell his presence information is not available anymore. And neither I can IM him instantly. So this makes me really worried. And I call my IT immediately to fix this issue. So as IT is trying to fix this issue, I will give it back to Carrie and we'll resume the demo once she talks about the other components of our stack.
Thanks, Ken. So what do you guys think? UEV in action, good? Happy? All right, so some pretty good stuff there. In the keynote, you saw Brad kind of show Adobe as one of the applications that was roaming, and he showed it roaming between a Windows 8 tablet and also into a Windows 8 VDI session. What you saw here with this is we took it to a couple more applications. We showed an application that's native to the operating system in Calculator, and then we also showed you how some of the settings and configurations for IE can roam as well. And we showed you that across multiple devices, a physical device, and then the scenario where you're using a kiosk, where that could be either a VDI session or a VDI desktop or a remote session. So a lot of flexibility, a lot of different devices and ways that you access Windows, same experience. Really, really powerful technology. So hopefully you guys got a good feel for the end user perspective should you deploy this technology out there in your environment. So the next thing we want to do is jump into the application layer. So if you remember that picture that I showed you at the start with the tablet, we had the three layers. We just cleared the user state layer. Let's take it down into the application layer and talk about a couple of the technologies that are available from Microsoft to help you virtualize the applications and make them available more quickly to your end users. Now, many of you are probably familiar. Actually, let's take a quick poll. How many of you are familiar with AppV? Nice. How many of you are familiar with VDI? Okay, lots of familiarity out there. Okay, and the user state layer, we talked about UEV. I'm sure there's other products out there. Okay, so we're still a little bit of education going on there. So great, thanks for sharing that. At the AppV layer, what we're really doing here is we're taking advantage of virtualization to do a couple different things. One is the core isolation that it delivers, so separating applications to prevent conflicts. Secondly, we also take advantage of the streaming that's available through the virtualization technology. And what that does is it allows you to deliver an application down to the desktop without ever having to install it. So the operating system itself remains pristine, and the time to deliver the application is actually reduced because we don't install. What we do is we deliver the first 20 to 40%, and the user's up and running instantly. They don't have to wait for that, 5-10 minute installation process. We'll trickle the rest down in the background. So when you think about AppV, it's another one of those technologies that can be applied across multiple form factors. And that's a local desktop, a tablet, or a VDI instance. And if you layer Citrix on top of it, whether it's AppV or UEV, you can take that experience to non-Windows devices as well through VDI or session-based ZenApp applications. So some of the key productivity benefits associated with AppV, you have anywhere productivity. So when you use AppV and UEV together, you're now getting complete movement of your personalization, your data, and your applications across multiple devices, because AppV and UEV are targeted at the user, not the device. So they log in, they get the same experience. Similar to UEV, you can avoid business disruptions. Again, swap the device in, swap the device out. It doesn't matter. The application is assigned to you as a user, so any device that you log into, you're going to get the same experience. And then we talked about the streaming capabilities and how it can enable faster deployment. So another thing that you may have heard last week, how many of you heard that we announced AppV 5.0? Lots of you. So hopefully you've been down there kicking the tires on the lab, going to the booth, hounding David a little bit, asking a lot of good questions. In the new version, we've really focused on three different areas: an integrated platform, flexible virtualization, and powerful management. And there's a number of things that you guys gave us feedback on that we heard were, you know, we've been making fantastic progress up to this point. You know, let's get some of those other things really nailed down so that we can go even broader than we've been able to today. So we've introduced some new concepts, virtual application extension being one of those new concepts. So with virtual application extension, virtual apps work as if they're locally installed. What this means is that we've tightly integrated with the platform even further than we have up to this point. You can now register virtual applications as if they were native applications. So it's not just the FTA anymore. You can register them all the way through so they behave as primary applications. And we've removed the dedicated drive letter, so the Q drive. How many of you love the Q drive? What happened? You guys gave me all these hands. Now there's none. Actually, that was a big piece of feedback that you had given us, was that you really didn't like the Q drive. And while in concept it worked well for the product itself, it caused you challenges in deployment because most of your drive letters were assigned. And if you had to rejigger in order to get another drive letter for AppV, that could cause some challenges for you. So we'll all say bye-bye to the Q drive. And now we've... Go ahead, you can clap, it's okay. So we'll say bye-bye to the Q drive, and now we've integrated with the local file system into the standard structure, and all of the settings get stored in a local DAT file as well. When we think about flexible virtualization, one of the key things that we've done here is we've enabled virtual application connections. And this really lets applications work together more closely. So in the past, we focused predominantly on doing Java and middleware through dynamic suite composition, and that was how we made those connections. Going forward with 5.0, you can now do this with peer applications, and you can do it in deeper levels. So virtual applications will enable you to get deeper connections and run multiple applications in the same virtual environment. And the last piece I want to hit on is around powerful management, and there's a couple things that we've done here. The first one is we've optimized disk space with the VDI shared content store. So in the past, the content store was a read-only store. No longer the case now. We've also set it up so that you can have the single location where you stream those applications from, and they can be updated in the same way that you update all of your virtual applications today. So you don't have to bleed users off of the cache in order to do the updating. You can just update it with your same processes. And we've added a setting in the client side that enables you to essentially decide whether or not you want those applications to be cached locally within the virtual machine. So you're typically using the shared content store in a VDI scenario. And the benefit that you're getting is you're reducing the storage on the back end associated with applications. Now, if you're using a pooled desktop, you're probably not going to want to have them stored locally in the cache in that pooled desktop because ultimately you're going to wipe it out anyway, right? So it doesn't make sense to cache it locally. But in a personal desktop, you may choose to do different because that's a one-to-one VM association with the user. So you may choose to have that cached. Either way, you as the IT administrator can toggle that on and off based on what you need for your user. So some key improvements there. And you guys gave us feedback in that area, too. You really didn't like some of the things that we did in V1, but it was V1, so we had the opportunity to learn, and thank you for sharing that with us. The other thing that we did is the MMC is gone. Are we sad about that? Come on, I think that one deserves a clap. The MMC is like 10 years old now. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time there, but Scan's going to show you the new interface. It's nice. It's all web-based, and the cool thing about it is that you don't have to install it, right? We've been talking a lot about mobility and being able to have flexible work styles and access to different things from different devices. It's a web-based console. You can access it from anywhere. As long as you punch through your security, you know, you can get to it from home, you can get to it within the core firewall. So we'll take a look at that in just a few minutes. And then the last thing that we did was around virtual application connection groups, and that really allows you to connect applications at deployment time. So you don't necessarily have to make sure that everything's sequenced together when you build the applications. Instead, you can choose to connect them at deployment time and target them at specific users. With that, I'm going to bring Scan back up, and he's going to show us what ATV5.0 looks like in action.
All right, more fun. So let me quickly change my VM order. So Carrie talked about some of the core features of ATV5.0 and some of the things she talked about, web-based UI for the management console and also the application connection groups. So let's see how it comes alive. So Ed, the doctor, just reported the issue to IT, and the troubleshooting has come to Alan, the IT guy. He knows what the problem is. He forgot to put Link and Outlook, the two applications in question, in the application connection group. But he's away from his desk, and I know when Ed becomes unhappy, he will escalate the issue to his manager. How many of us experienced that in real life? But he's not worried, because he knows he can access the ATV5.0 web management interface to access ATV applications and manage those applications right from a web portal. So let's see that experience. Alan goes to the application management console in a web UI. And what he's trying to do is just create an application and a connection group for Link and Office. He notices that the features here are simple to use and easily discoverable. He doesn't have to really go through the whole application to find those features he's looking for. So he goes to packages, he sees application connection groups. What he's trying to do is create a new application connection group, so let's name that group Link and Office. Let's edit this connection group and add Office and Link applications to that group. Hit apply. And next thing he needs to do is make that connection group available to the doctors. So what he selects the doctor user group and makes this connection group available to the doctor user group. So it's just a matter of a few clicks. Let's try to find that user group here. So what you see here is now the doctor user group has been granted access to that particular connection group. Let's hit close. With a matter of few clicks, Alan is ready to publish this connection group to the doctors. So here you were able to see ATV provides powerful management because IT can access their management console from a web UI. And they don't have to stick to a locally installed management console. So let's move back to Ed, who just came back from seeing some of his patients, and he's going back to his office. And he's eagerly waiting to see whether Alan, the IT guy, fixed the issue. So he goes back to his office after his normal routines, logs in. And launches Outlook. Bingo. He's able to see Adam's presence information that was missing earlier, right? And now he knows he can collaborate with Adam in real time without switching Link and Outlook applications. Now he can see that integration happening. So he pings Adam that he is available to talk to Adam today. I have fat fingers, so I mistype a lot of things. Bear with me. So you were able to see with the power of AppVee, AppVee is now more flexible. And with features like Application Connection Group, IT can virtualize more applications that even require more tighter integration. Now, with Application Connection Groups, you link applications at deployment time rather than the sequencing time. How many of you are aware of the dynamic suite composition feature of AppVee? So you were able to see how IT can now move beyond the dynamic suite composition feature, which was more suited for applications that require middleware and plugins to share. Now with Application Connection Group, even peer-to-peer applications can interact with each other. So with this, I will give it back to Carrie, and I'll come back for the final piece of the demo. You like it?
Great job. Thanks, Ken. I think we probably need to put in a request to Link for spell checking in IAM. I don't know about you guys, but my spelling is terrible when it comes to IAM. I'm typically flying too fast, and you know, you get the information back, and you go, okay, I think I can decipher what they're saying if I drop this letter and add this one in. So maybe a little spell check in IAM would be helpful for all of us. But so what do you think? New console? Have any of you seen that previously, or is this first time? First time. Good. So hopefully what Scan showed you today makes your life a little bit easier in terms of being able to connect those groups on the fly as opposed to having to know all that information at sequence time. And you saw how easy it was for him to actually bring in new users, do the assignment, do the connection. So some really, really great work by the engineering team in terms of making that user interface simple and intuitive. Excuse me, simple and intuitive at the same time. So the next piece I want to do in order to close out the app layer is really talk about remote app. So I alluded to this a little bit in the stack itself. But what remote app is a capability within Windows Server that's been there for quite some time. The difference is that people typically think, oh, well, I got to deliver sessions, right? Because that's what you do with server. And then VDI came along, and now I need to deliver virtual desktops, full VMs. Well, remote app is a really powerful capability, and it has an aspect of simplicity to it as well. If you have an application that you want to host in the data center, but you don't necessarily want to deliver a full desktop down to the user, you can just deliver the app. So with remote app, you just assign the application itself to the user. It'll be delivered off of a Windows server, and when they launch it from their start menu, it just launches like a regular app. They don't know that it's actually going out and doing stuff in the background. So pretty cool capability there if all you need to do is to deliver the application as opposed to delivering a full virtual desktop. So key benefits, deliver one or more apps instead of a full desktop. No data or files stored on the local client. So one of the configuration capabilities you have as an IT pro or as an IT administrator is to determine whether or not you want that remote app to have access to the local device and the local storage. You can turn that off and force the user to save all their information into the data center. So for those of you that have compliance regulations or requirements, or just from a security perspective, you can have that data pushed into the data center. And then ultimately, it simplifies application deployment if you want to deliver from the data center, because you have one single centralized console that's built into Windows Server 8 to publish those applications out. So this is one of those sort of diamonds in the rough, so to speak. If you're not familiar with it and you want to deliver applications centrally, it's a very simple implementation to do that without having to go all the way down the hosted desktop route. All right, so we just cleared the application layer. We're in the last pillar of the offering. And when you think about desktop virtualization, remember, it's not just about the operating system itself. The desktop is comprised of the user's state, their personality, their settings, and their data, the applications that they use and interact with on the desktop, and then the operating system itself. So what we're going to do now is jump into the operating system layer, and we're going to start out by talking about VDI. So many of you are familiar. We did the poll earlier, and I saw a bunch of hands go up around VDI. This is really hosting virtual desktops, and by this we mean virtual machines in the data center. And some of the key benefits associated with that are that you have the flexibility to access Windows from any device, right? And when you do that, it could be a local desktop, it could be your tablet, it could be a thin client device. And again, if you layer Citrix on top of the Microsoft platform, then you can take it out to non-Windows devices as well. So flexibility to access. Key point, you need to have network connectivity in order to get to that back-end desktop that's presented out of the data center. We hear a lot of customers wanting to use VDI in order to secure corporate data. For example, financial stock traders, things like that, they can't have any footprint left on their desktop on the local device. So a lot of times we see them wanting to go to a VDI environment because they can wipe out a pooled VM and keep it pristine. In the example that Scan's been using, the storyline around the doctor, in healthcare, we see that there are requirements around data and making sure that data doesn't stay on the local device. There's privacy requirements. So VDI is a great way to secure corporate data. So those are some of the key benefits associated with VDI. Now, we're going to dive in a little bit, and I'm just going to scratch the surface here. There's a lot of stuff that we're doing in Windows Server 2012. I'm going to hit some high points here. And because we're just in beta right now, you're going to hear more come out. You're going to hear us talk more about this. So this won't be by far the last time that you hear about it. But one thing that you're going to hear us do is talk a little bit differently about VDI with Windows Server 2012. When we talk about the capabilities, we're really going to talk about the ability to deliver VDI through one platform, that one platform being Windows Server 2012. With a single consistent experience, RemoteFX. Regardless of whether you're doing sessions, pooled VMs, or personal VMs, you are going to get the same experience across all of those deployment types. And then when we give you three deployment choices, so one platform is going to deliver all three of those. You don't have to go out and buy separate infrastructure to deliver your VMs and then go out and buy separate infrastructure if you want to do sessions. Most of you, and actually, let's just do a quick poll. How many of you are running XenApp or RDS in your environment today? Yeah, quite a few of you, right? So you may be thinking, hey, that's working great for me. I want to continue to use that. But you know what? There are use cases when VDI also applies. And I may need to give a higher level of personalization. So I'm going to deploy VDI as well because it's appropriate for my environment. With Windows Server 2012, you're going to get a great experience regardless of which one you choose to deploy, and you're going to get it all through one platform. So you're going to hear us talk about that more and more as we start to bring out Windows Server 2012 into the market. So let's take a look at some of the enhancements that we're actually bringing in through Windows Server 2012. And sorry, it's getting hard to say that. I'm so used to saying Windows Server 8. It feels much longer. So three key areas: efficient management, best value for desktops, and rich experience everywhere. What does it mean? Okay, so in the keynote, how many of you saw Bill do quick deploy? A lot of you, okay. So he did quick deploy in under a minute. Pretty impressive. Limited number of clicks associated with there. Now, certainly there's some back-end processing that's going to happen post that in order to spin up the VMs and all of that. But in terms of setting up a single server, you know, a basic environment, you can get through that pretty quickly. We do have the single administration in terms of the console. And one of the things that we've heard is that patching can be an issue associated with VDI, right? Because if you send all your patches into your VDI pool at the same time, you're going to saturate the resources on the server because they're going to be used to patch all those machines. What happens is that now you've you've created a degraded user experience. And then your users are going to start to revolt because all of the resources that they need to do their work on their desktop are now being consumed by patching. So the team has worked to partner with System Center as well as do some things in the platform to make patching more intelligent to prevent some of those storms by creating randomization in how those VMs are patched. When we move down into the best value category, there's a couple things that we've done here. Certainly, Hyper-V, you heard Jeff talk about all the great enhancements that we've done in Hyper-V. He talked about that yesterday during the keynote. So everything that we have in Windows Server 2012 related to VDI or sessions is built on top of the Hyper-V platform. So we will take advantage of all of the capabilities that Hyper-V is bringing to market. In addition, last year we talked about dynamic memory, and that was a great new capability that we added into Hyper-V at the time. Now we're expanding that, and the concept of fair share goes across all of the different deployment types that you have. So whether it's sessions, whether it's pooled or personal VMs, we have the concept of fair share, and that's really making sure that all of the users have allocated resources evenly so that nobody is saturating. We do that for disk I/O, we do that for network bandwidth, and then we also do that for memory. So fair share helps to balance that and ensure everybody gets a good experience. Then the other thing we did, and I think Brad probably alluded to this in his slide in the keynote where he showed the bars and how storage changes across the different types of deployments. And whether you use SAN storage or different types of storage, in Windows Server 2012, we're enabling you to take advantage of SMB file shares and lower cost DAS storage so that you don't have to put a SAN back in there. What we've heard, and even what we see in the market if you look at all the analyst research and just in customer feedback, is that one of the barriers to adoption is still the cost of storage. So anything that we can do to help you reduce those costs but still implement a good solid VDI environment, we believe is key to helping you get to deployment. So those are that's a key investment that we made in Windows Server 2012. And then lastly, when it comes to a rich experience everywhere, I talked a little bit about RemoteFX delivering the single experience across all deployment types. In the previous version, we had hardware GPUs only. Now we have software GPUs. So we fully take advantage of software GPUs on the technology. And then we've also enabled rich multimedia and 3D graphics. And Scan's going to give you a little preview into that high fidelity experience and what it's like to do touch over a VDI desktop. And we're going to show you that coming in from a Windows 8 device going into a Windows 8 VM running on Windows Server 2012. And we've also added the ability to go across the WAN now. So in the past, we were just LAN. And then lastly, two key things, USB redirection and multi-touch remoting. So USB redirection, you have to make sure that you can take advantage of the peripherals, even if you're in a VDI environment. So we've done some work on the pass-through there to ensure that you can take advantage of that. And we're going to show you some of that in real time. So those are some of the cool new investments that we've made in Windows Server 2012. We hope that you guys get out there and try it. We're really excited about what it brings to market, and we hope that you are as well. So with that, before we jump into the demo, one of the things that I just want to highlight on real quick is I want to talk about choosing the right VDI architecture. And we often hear from customers that, you know, Sessions is out there. It's been out there for a while. It's a technology that's proven. And whether you're using RDS in Windows Server or you're taking advantage of XenApp on top of it, you know, it's a technology that's been out there for a long time. But I keep hearing about this cool, shiny new penny that's out there. And it's VDI, and I want it, and I want to use it, and I want to try it. So how should I think about these different things? And with our customers, we don't necessarily tell them do this or do that. What we help is we help them guide and understand some of the trade-offs that you may make in order to choose a specific architecture. And then they can map those trade-offs based on their business needs and pick the one that's right for them. So there's four categories that we often hear customers talk about, meaning that my users need this, or I want to enable this. And those are personalization, app compat, image management, and cost effectiveness. Personalization is really about, if I do a hosted desktop in the data center, how much flexibility do I give my users to customize that desktop? Because after all, if they're the ones that are using a physical desktop today or a laptop, they're doing all sorts of things to make it theirs, right? At the core, if you're not using any user experience virtualization technology layered on top, personal VMs are going to give you the best level of personalization because it's a full Windows VM, it's a one-to-one assignment, and it's persistent, meaning that any changes that the user makes to that VM, they're going to stick. With pooled VMs, they get wiped out every time they log off, and with sessions, you're sharing across, so you don't necessarily get the same level of personalization. The other question we get asked is around application compatibility. So I'm going to move all these desktops into the data center, but I have to make sure that the apps that the users need actually work when I move them. Now, with sessions, you're using a server-based operating system, and you're sharing that across multiple users. Not all client apps run on server operating systems. So you're going to have less compatibility on the app layer, and in pooled and personal, you're going to have more because they're actual VM instances. In image management, what this really is focused on is how many images do I need to manage once I actually get the desktops into the data center? So with sessions, again, it's one server instance that you're sharing across. So you've got essentially one, and not much changes. You just patch the base. With pooled VMs, again, you have one instance. You typically use a gold image, and that gets deployed into the pool, and then it gets wiped out every time. So if you need to patch or update, you're just patching that one. With personal, remember, you're giving everybody their own desktop, so now you've got a one-to-one correlation. You have to treat that and manage that as if it were a physical desktop, because essentially that's what it is. It's just stored somewhere else. And then the last piece is around cost effectiveness. And this really comes in to some of the things that Brad talked about this morning in terms of the storage pieces, leveraging AppV on top, leveraging user disks. With sessions, you are going to get the highest cost effective basis because you can use a single server. You don't need to have a SAN backend. You're going to get more scalability. In the current version of Windows Server, you're getting about 2 times the amount of sessions that you are to VM. So you're going to get more cost-effective strategy with sessions than you will with some of the personal and pooled. Now, all this being said, these are indicators for you to start thinking, hey, what do I need to do? What are my users asking me for? What is the business asking me for? And then once you understand those key indicators and you start to map it against the different types of architectures that are available for you, then you can choose the choice that's right for your business. So from a Microsoft perspective, we provide capabilities in all three of these. So if you choose any one, we're happy. But choose the one that's going to be most effective for you. And then the last point I want to make on this is we also get asked around the client access device. And what type of device should I consider using when I go to a hosted desktop environment? And for us, and also in industry data, what we see is most people are repurposing PCs. So we have a solution in Windows Thin PC that you can take advantage of, and that will lock down existing hardware and make it available. We suggest going down that route if you haven't confirmed that you're going to a hosted desktop environment or VDI sessions, whichever deployment type you choose. The reason is that if you purchase a thin client and you decide that centralized desktop is not for you, you can't do anything else with that thin client. So with a PC, you can roll it out and use it in other ways. You'll get some life out of it. The other thing is that if you repurpose now, you'll save budget in the near term, and then you can factor in as part of your hardware recycle, your hardware refresh to bring thin clients in to replace those legacy PCs. So something to think about on the access device as well. So with that overview, I'm going to bring Scan back up, and he's going to show us some of the cool new stuff that we're doing in Server 2012.
All right. So let's move to the VDI part of the demo. So let's switch back to Contoso Healthcare Services, right? Alan is part of the IT department, and he really prides himself of providing a quality managed desktop experience to their users in Contoso. But Contoso is rapidly expanding, and they need to modernize their desktop infrastructure. and they also need to comply with the increasingly stringent HIPAA compliance requirements. So they are looking to modernize their desktop infrastructure, but with solutions that will provide them best value and also help them leverage their existing investments. So Contoso is a tab customer for Microsoft, and they have access to Windows 8 client and Windows Server 2012 to try that out before they become generally available. So Alan proposes to do a small VDI deployment to a set of users to test the feasibility of the solution. Alan doesn't want to sit with a 100-page manual book to set up his VDI, right? How many of you have done that? At least some of you. So we are going to see how easy and quick it is with Server 2012 to set up a VDI environment. So let's move to the experience of Alan and what are things he needs to do to set up his VDI deployment. So let me move to my IT machine. I'm not going to walk through the whole demo here because many of you saw this in the keynote. But the essence here is with the newly designed server manager, IT can get up and running with their VDI-based deployments in a matter of few clicks. So if you go to the newly designed server manager and look at the workflow in this deployment, you will see in a matter of few clicks, 7 to be precise, Alan can set up a base VDI environment. What are the things we have done differently this time is we have added scenario-based installation. So instead of doing a ground-up base installation, Alan can choose a scenario-based installation where base set of configuration will already be done for him. And then the same infrastructure can be deployed, can be used to deploy a VM or session-based deployment because RDS treats these two deployment types as two different deployments and not different technologies. So I won't go through this whole demo, but just wanted to emphasize on the essence that it's quick, easy, and we have simplified the process for IT to create and deploy VDI. So I've already created and deployed the base VDI deployment. So let's move to the user side. So Ed, the doctor, is really excited. He is part of that pilot. Alan has provided him a tablet device so that he can test out scenarios for virtual desktop. And Ed gets this shiny Windows tablet from IT. Alan has instructed Ed to test to access his corporate environment from the virtual desktop so that he can get some quality feedback. So let's move to the experience of Ed here and move to the tablet machine. So here you can see the newly redesigned RDS client for Windows 8. It's touch enabled, so I can access my virtual desktop by just one touch. Because Ed is logging in for the first time, he needs to subscribe to the subscription and get access to the virtual desktops he has access to. So he clicks and just provides his email so that he can get the list of virtual applications and desktops that he has access to. Since he's logging for the first time, he needs to provide his domain credentials. IT can leverage features like single sign-on, where they can pass through the credentials, and once Ed logs in for the first time, he doesn't have to do that again. So let's put his credentials. And what Ed sees here is Alan has granted him access to a Windows 8 virtual desktop. So with this demo, we'll focus on some of the core scenarios which Alan wants Ed to test. He knows for a virtual desktop to be successful, some core scenarios has to be tested out, like the user experience from the virtual desktop. How would doctors get this experience when they're running their environment from this hosted virtual desktop? Then doctors also need to use 3D applications and images. So how would those behave when they access from a remote server? And finally, doctors also use a lot of USB peripherals. So would this virtual desktop support USB redirection? So let's see what the user experience is in this virtual desktop, Windows 8-based virtual desktop. So here you can see I'm getting a full fidelity experience, even though I'm running Windows 8 in the virtual desktop. I can swipe to the left, swipe to the right, and it's giving me the same fast and fluid experience that I would expect from a local Windows 8 client. I can pinch to zoom in, pinch to zoom out, and just like Windows 8 client, I can regroup my applications, move the applications around, and I'm getting that full fidelity experience. Ed is a scuba diving enthusiast, and what he's really looking to test a 3D image of a sea scooter that he's looking to buy. So he goes to the 3D image of a sea scooter, and here you will be able to see how in real time I'm able to manipulate the image. And this is all made possible because of remote support for multi-touch points in remote FX. So I'm using multiple fingers here to manipulate with the image. Ed's kid also hooked him to this new game called Cut the Rope. How many of you played this game? Is this the next big thing after Angry Birds? Do you agree? So what Ed is doing is he is doing a mini competition with his colleagues on who will get the highest score after a few days. So he has some free time and he tests this application. So you can see I'm getting the same rich, not yet, now. I'm getting the same rich and immersive experience that I would get from that I would expect from an application running locally. So let's play this application. So Ed launches his application, and as you can see, he has moved certain levels. So he's really pumped up that he can beat his doctors. So notice how remote FX in real time will react to my swipe gestures. Oops. I really need to feed this frog some candy. So Ed is not really good yet. All right. I'm getting better. So all this is made possible with remote FX adaptive graphics technology, where it can intelligently select the codecs based on the content being rendered and the remoting infrastructure. For example, the network availability. So he can expect same rich user experience in both LAN and WAN scenarios. So that's one big major step forward we have made in Windows Server 2012, where users can expect to get the same experience over LAN and WAN. Also, Ed wants to access his application, the calculator application he frequently uses. So actually, let's go back and launch this application from the start menu. Do you remember the settings from my first demo? So UEV is actually carrying the settings to my virtual desktop as well. My IT Alan doesn't have to do any configuration. I'm getting a consistent experience across both rich and virtual desktops. Cool? So let's test the final scenario, USB redirection. So Alan is really happy. He's getting some good feedback from Ed. This virtual desktop is actually working for me. So Alan wants to make sure that this USB redirection feature is working. So let me switch to my another PC, to my Alan's PC, and launch my virtual desktop where I would be testing this USB redirection. So RemoteFX supports the whole USB stack. As long as the drivers are available in the VM, RemoteFX will be able to support that USB peripheral. So I have attached a webcam to my machine here. So let's access that webcam. This is my lovely audience here. Which could do with more cheering and claps. I'm just kidding. So what you are seeing here is I'm getting a smooth video experience. The video is being remoted from the USB stack to the device. All the processing is happening on the virtual desktop, and the output is sent back to the device. So let's have more fun. Let's focus on the brave ones who are sitting in the front. Okay, I really like this person. What's your name, sir? Ken? Ken, I'm going to ask you a very difficult question, and you have to answer that question. That means you're paying attention. I'm just kidding. So Ken just won 4,000 points of Xbox Live. Cheer for Ken. He's not my friend, I promise you. I'm not biased. He's not going to share those 2,000 points with me. So just collect your prize after the demo. So hopefully you were able to see the power of our end-to-end DB stack from UEV to AppV and VDI. So I will give it back to Carrie to wrap it up.
Great job, Scan. Thanks for taking us through that. And he really does have 4,000 points for you, so make sure you see him. So the last piece of content that we want to cover is around client Hyper-V. And this is a new technology that is going to be available within Windows 8. How many of you are running Windows 8 right now? Good, good. Getting familiar with it. Love to see that. So how many of you have turned on client Hyper-V? A few of you. Okay. So the key aspect behind client Hyper-V is that it allows you to run multiple VMs or multiple desktops locally on a single device. So in essence, you're maximizing your hardware investments. We typically see customers wanting to use this to create diverse dev and test environments because they want to either code on the local device and then do some testing and have that all integrated as opposed to standing up individual servers or giving their developers, you know, these big robust environments. And then we also see customers and consultants taking advantage of it. So when they're on site and they're building out environments for their customers or they're doing prototypes or demos or things like that, they can leverage this locally. So as you would expect, Client Hyper-V is built on top of, or I should say, in conjunction with a robust platform that's in Hyper-V in the server. It's the same core. We've taken advantage of all the capabilities that are available there in terms of scale, power, and support for live migration and storage. It does require that you have a 64-bit local device with SLAT enabled. And we've made some changes to what you would normally see in Hyper-V to make it more intelligent on the client. For example, you typically wouldn't sleep or hibernate a server-based device if you were running Hyper-V, right? But if you have Hyper-V running on your laptop, it's not out of the ordinary to shut the lid and have it sleep or hibernate. So you want to make sure that client Hyper-V can handle those VMs and make sure they come back up appropriately. We've also added in rich multimedia, VoIP, and multi-touch support. In the same way that you saw, you know, scan doing multi-touch in the VM on VDI, you can do multi-touch within client Hyper-V as well. So if you're thinking about developing Metro applications for Windows 8, you can build an environment with client Hyper-V and do all your testing right there in a Windows 8 client. And then lastly, because we share the same file types between client and server, you can easily import, export the VMs from your client Hyper-V location into Hyper-V on Windows Server. So one thing that I just kind of want to bring up, customers often ask us, wow, with all the great new innovation that you guys are doing in Windows 8, you know, what happens with Citrix? Well, absolutely nothing happens with Citrix. We continue to be very strong partners. We have tons of integration on the platform that's out there today. And of course, you would expect. We continue to partner with them, and we're working with them very closely on integration with 2012 and Windows 8 clients. So that partnership will continue to grow, and we will continue to make sure that all of our products work together across the entire desktop virtualization stack. So we're getting a little bit short on time. I want to just wrap up real quickly. I'll let this slide build out, and you guys can just take a look at it. But essentially, one of the other things that we get asked from customers is, I love all this technology, and I, as an IT pro, can think about, hey, how do I map the technology to my environment? But sometimes when I'm trying to express the benefits to the business decision makers or my manager, it's not really clear on how it benefits the user. So what we've done is we've kind of pivoted a little bit and said, if your user needs to do these types of things, these are the best technologies that will help you to enable that user experience for them. And what you can see is there are some technologies that are primary technologies for a given scenario, and then there are other technologies that are supporting technologies. What that means is if you use them in conjunction with the primary technology, you're going to get an even better experience because now you're taking advantage of the full stack versus just doing one portion of it. So I just wanted to share that with you guys. In the essence of time, I'm not going to walk through it, but you can get the slides later. So in summary, what we recommend to customers is that if you want to start with desktop virtualization, start with user experience virtualization and start with App-V. The reason that we recommend this is it's good for all scenarios, all use cases, and it works across all your device types. So whether you decide to use laptops, desktops, whether you decide to go virtual and move those desktops into the data center, these technologies apply across all of them. They will work, and we showed different demos that demonstrate that today. With virtual desktops, they're great in the environment. Just know where they're most appropriate for your users. And once you identify where they're appropriate, go ahead and deploy them. We have yet to see customers who have moved to a complete VDI infrastructure as their way to deliver desktops to their users. We may get there in the future. We haven't seen it yet. So just understand where that can give you the most benefit. And then in local desktop vert, take advantage of client Hyper-V in your dev and test environments, and then take advantage of Med-V when you have application compatibility. And as always, System Center is there to bring it all together and manage it for you. So we have a couple contests that are going right now. If you guys have seen the new Nokia Lumia 900, it's a pretty cool device running Windows Phone 7. We have two contests with UEV and App-V, so if you want one of those, go ahead and check out the contest. And then the betas are available now for you to download. With that, I'm going to open it up for questions. The question is App-V still only available through MDOP, or has it been separated? So if you're using App-V on the desktops, taking it all the way down to the local device, you need to purchase an MDOP license. If you're going to use it with remote desktop services in a session-based environment, it's included in the RDS CAL. The question is UEV supported on Windows 7? Yes, absolutely. The question is the client-side hypervisor manageable on Windows 8? Yes, it is. And we're not fully integrated with System Center yet, but System Center can manage virtual machines today. So as both products move through their next life cycle, you'd expect that integration to get stronger. Thank you. So the question is around UEV settings and AppV, and what's the difference between the two? So, David, you wanna take that one?
So UEV settings will roam between local application installations and AppV application settings. We also have two features within AppV 5.0 to help you manage the way that different AppV packages might need to be configured differently for AppV users. We have dynamic deployment configuration to handle AppV package configuration on the machine level, dynamic user configuration to help you give different configurations of AppV packages to different users. Now, you don't have to repackage AppV applications just to give users different configuration sets for AppV. We'll detail this in the session introducing AppV 5.0 a little bit later on this afternoon. So these are new sessions for AppV. There's three of them in MMS. They weren't in the session catalog when you probably registered. They were added on April 4th. So please check the session schedules and attend that introduction session for more information.
Go ahead.
For AppV 5.0 and UEV production,
they're beta, and they just dropped to beta last week.
What's the
timeframe on RPM? We disclose one milestone at a time. So we just disclosed beta. When we drop the next one, we'll allude more to when the RTM timeframe is coming.
So the announcement of Configuration Manager 2012 today is so new product. We're all about AppV 4.6 SP1. Of course, we have a history of integration with Configuration Manager, so you can expect as we move through our development milestones, we'll have something to announce for that later.
There are programs that are available right now. We have a number of customers that are in the TAP directly, and then we also have an open beta. So you can go and download the bits today and then submit feedback through the community forums on Connect as well. But if you swing by the booth later on and give the guys your name or hit one of the UEV sessions, they can give you more information. Last question? That is the intention. It's not in beta today. Yeah. All right. Thank you guys very much for your time. If there are other questions, you can come up to the front.